Welcome. I'm Halcyon, and this is Hug Nation. Today, I want to talk about courage and vulnerability. I need to testify. Hallelujah. And it pains me to say that my praise and adoration is not upon the color pink, but brown. Brené Brown. So I watched the recent Netflix Brené Brown special, The Call to Courage. And if you have not seen this, I highly recommend it. You may have seen her incredibly popular TED Talk, maybe the most popular TED Talk ever, one of them, about vulnerability, about shame. And the Netflix special goes into that into deeper ways and in some ways that really hit me on a profound level. And considering how much of my life I dedicate to vulnerability, authenticity, and still felt like I was nodding so aggressively at times that my neck hurt. And there were times when I was like, oh my gosh, these pieces fit together in these ways. I just was so profoundly affected by the message. Now, before I go and watch it and rewatch it and rewatch it, I just wanted to reflect freshly some of the ideas and perspectives that I got from it. The big one was this core basic concept of the connection between courage and vulnerability, and that you cannot have vulnerability without courage, or courage without vulnerability. And that is such a profound idea. She asks the audience at one point, says, who here was raised to believe that courage is a valuable trait and that we should aspire to be courageous in our lives? And almost everybody raises their hands. And then she asks, who here was brought up to believe that vulnerability is a weakness? And again, most people raise their hands. And yet when you start digging into it or you listen to the way that she explains these things, it becomes so clear that vulnerability and courage are not on opposite sides of the spectrum, but are intimately linked, in fact, intertwined to a point that you cannot separate them. And one of the reasons why this was so profound for me is because as someone who has been aspiring to be vulnerable and authentic and sharing all the darkness and any idea I have that I have some embarrassment or shame out, I'm trying to put it out there in as a way of freeing myself of the burden and gaining power from the honest vulnerability. The idea that there needs to be courage for it to be true vulnerability kind of shook me up a little bit and realized that there is a type of sharing that for me is not courageous. It is maybe even tactical at times. And it also, it really kind of highlights how vulnerability is not just the massive removal of the outer shell or the mask, but depending on where you are, it's whatever is a courageous letting go and sharing when you do not have control of the outcome. That is something that she kept saying, when you don't have control of the outcome. So if I am sharing in a way to try to control the outcome, if I share some vulnerable or, you know, potentially embarrassing story as a way to manipulate or have some control over how people will perceive me, then that's not nearly as courageous an act as simply being present in my truth, recognizing that I have no control over how that is received. Now, maybe because of this long history of sharing and the incredible blessings that I've gotten from it and the overwhelming positive responses, it takes less courage for me now than it once did. Maybe that's because of all the positive responses. Maybe it's because I've developed a certain recognition of who I care about what they think. That's another idea in her special that I think is just so profound. She says, you know, it's people, there's a lot of people who will say, I don't give a fuck what anyone thinks. I can't remember if she said the F word, but you know, and she called bullshit. She's like, no, everybody cares what people think. The key is caring which people think. And if you can discipline yourself and work on your thoughts and adjust your perceptions and evaluations to the point where you only care about what the people you care about think, or the people who have demonstrated lives of vulnerability and courage, what they think about you, or this, you have this kind of prerequisite of something that pushes someone into the category of, I do care what you think. What people say, I don't give a fuck what people think, what they're really saying is, I don't care what just the general public thinks. I don't care about what the haters think. And that is actually, yes, that is exactly where we want to head. And I think that to some degree I've gotten there. I still have these middle categories of people that I kind of care what they think way too much. That's not even to the to the category of people that is those who have earned my respect that are in my circle of those that I truly care about what they think. There's still this middle. Haters, don't care. I'm over that. Middle of general people who I would really rather them like me. Top tier of those who've earned my respect. And I listen because they can give me guidance in a way that accents and enhances my own perceptions of myself and the world. And so I got a chance to practice courage and vulnerability a little bit this weekend. It was Pride in San Diego, the parade and celebrations and just general rainbow avalanche. It's almost like there's a competition to see how many rainbow things you can adorn your body with. And I am not complaining. I think it's awesome. But as I got dressed to go to the event, I first put on a fairly flamboyant outfit, fairly androgynous, and what I thought looked like a pretty gay apparel, and not in the, you know, night before Christmas sense. And Becca, my partner, said, no, don't wear that top. And at this point, I'd already thought of this outfit the night before. I'd kind of come to peace with, this is what I'm going to be wearing. And to have this negative opinion about the outfit, and she's in the category of people that I do care, she says, I've got the perfect top for you. And she pulls out what I'm wearing now. It was a tank top of hers that she had gotten a stain on, and so she had cut it off to turn it into a crop top. Now, when I was 28, I intentionally bought tops like this. I was looking for any opportunity to wear as little clothes as possible, showing off my abs, being as next to naked as much as possible. Not truly naked, because a naked man, as I've discussed many times in the past, is a design atrocity. The jangle just does not work with the lines of the body form, but I digress. And so I put on this top, and although I was aware that this was not my 28-year-old body. And I started to think, I can't wear this. I'm not up for this. This is too much. Like, I can feel, it's like tight enough that I can feel that I'm exposed. And to be out in public and not have, you know, the means to cover up, or worrying about how I'm standing or twisting or bending over, for it just seemed like my body has had the decades where this is an appropriate outfit. And the more I thought about it, I'm like, what am I talking about? I'm literally embodying everything that I teach and speak about overcoming. The idea, like, oh, you're too old to wear that. You don't have the body for that. That, like, I was becoming that. I was feeling that. I was receiving that societal judgment through my personal lens of myself and realized that even though at the time, as I left the house, I was like, I don't feel comfortable, but I have to do it. I have to be courageous, because if I'm going to ask anyone else to be courageous, I would be a fraud if I was going to protect myself from an unknown outcome, but ask other people to step in courageously and be vulnerable. Now, the outfit was an overwhelming hit. Everyone loved it. Now, I'm gonna, okay, this is what I'm wearing. Okay, now I'm holding in my gut right now. I gotta, you know, be totally fair and admit. And I'm not courageous enough to just let it out on camera. And full disclosure, I did some push-ups before I hit record. That was not the technical difficulties I was talking about, but I probably would have been ready sooner if I had done the push-ups sooner, or just bypassed push-ups and been truly vulnerable and not tried to get a little pump on before I wore a revealing outfit. Did I do a few push-ups before I went to Pride Parade? Yes, I did. Now, is that less courageous because I was unwilling to show my unpumped self? Or is it more courageous because I just admitted that and shared my truth with you? It's not a competition. So, at first I was patting myself on the back for being so courageous to wear this. And then I realized, not really. 6 weeks ago, I started eating a little bit better and exercising. And so I feel a lot better now than I did 6 weeks ago. And so the momentum of that feeling better, I think made this a less courageous act. And then, but what I realized over the course of the experience of wearing this around is the same lesson that I get every time I go to Burning Man, which is that what is sexy is not a proportion or a body fat percentage or the symmetrical features. What is sexy is people owning it, owning their bodies, owning their moment, owning themselves, having fun, presenting themselves as a gift to the world, celebrating their life. That is sexy. And I think that is what I was embodying. And that is what sold the outfit. If I walked around in this outfit with shoulders hunched and a little bit of fear in my eyes, I think it would not have gone over well. I learned that long ago, after years of having pink hair, that if I walk around with pink hair like I own this path, like I am exactly where I'm supposed to be, and I am a gift to the world, I'm a one-man theme camp, I'm a one-man parade, I'm a woo, then people respond to this jarring look with like, all right, look at him. But if I have the energy of like, oh, I hope nobody teases me, I don't want to stand out, it invites criticism, it invites judgment. I view it like an aluminum can. Like if you have an aluminum can, fresh aluminum can, and you start stacking weight on top of it, it's very strong. The minute you like think the wall, it loses all of its strength. There's probably terms in science for these things, in which case I applaud you learned people out there. But I think that we are the same way, and that's why summoning the courage creates that strength in your vulnerability. If you can combine courage and vulnerability and present yourself from that place, you are incredibly powerful. You're invincible. Your weaknesses cannot be used against you. If you have a chink in the armor, if you are not owning the very thing that you're worried is going to be used against you, inevitably it will be. And this whole idea that Brené Brown brought up of of courage. And choosing to live courageously, choosing to embody discomfort, choosing the courageous over comfort as this path towards vulnerable, exposing, releasing, letting go, letting going. It just hit me as such a profound guiding principle. I am really focused on these personal manifestos of I am statements and base my coaching on helping people work and craft those into this guiding North Star for ourselves. And I know that I need to integrate this idea of I will choose courage over comfort. And when it comes to a crop top, I gotta admit, it's pretty comfortable too once you get used to it. Actually, I take that back. It's quite confining. The comfort comes in the that owning it. So I hope that you are owning it. You are walking your walk with the awareness that the gift is you, and that yes, we care what other people think, and recognizing which people we care about and trusting those people with our stories, trusting those people with our insecurity, with our shame, with our fears. That is how we connect and build bonds of love. We build community. We build support. When we can be ourselves and find the people that will support us in that way and we can support them, that releases so much of our power, so much of our creativity. And that's where the sexy comes from. That's where the courage comes from. That's where the magic that we are responsible for adding to the world comes from, that place of truth. And the more we can encourage others and do it in ourselves, the more we are fulfilling our purpose, I believe. Thank you for encouraging me to wear this incredibly sexy top and walk my path. I certainly hope that I can reflect that back to you and help you do the same. I love you. If you enjoy these transmissions, do me a huge favor and share them. Give them a thumbs up. Give them a like. Let people know that this is worth listening to. It would make a big difference in my life. Or join my email list and get to know all the new things that happen, including when my next round of coaching will start at list.hugnation.com. Actually, just search Hug Nation. You can find my YouTube channel, find my iTunes, all the good stuff. I love you.